ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 1, Text Number 15, I believe. Please repeat. Yat Pada Sankshaya Sutta Munaya Pashamayana Sadhya Punanti Upasprita Swardhuni Apo Nusevaya Yad Pada Sangshayak Sutta Yad Pada Sangshayak Sutta Munaya Pashaya Pashamayana Munaya Pashamayana Sadyak Punatyupasprita Sadya Punatyupasprishta Swardunya Ponusevaya Swardhunya Ponusevaya Yatpada Sangshaya Sutta Munayak Pashamayana Sadya Punatyapasprishta Swardhunya Ponusevaya Yatpada Sangshaya Sutta Vashamayana Sevaya Munaya Prashamayana Sadyak Punatyupasprishta Sardunya Ponusevaya. Ladies, Yatpada Sangshaya Sutta Munaya Prashamayana Sadyak Punatyupasprishta Swardhunya Ponusevaya. Yatpara Sangshaya Suta Munayak Pashyamayana Sadya Punatyupas Prishta Svardunya Ponusevaya Yat, whose? Pada, lotus feet. Sangshraya, those who have taken shelter of. Suta, O Suta Goswami. Munaya, great sages. Pashyamayana, absorbed in devotion to the Supreme. Sadya, at once. Punanti, sanctify. Upasprishta, simply by association. Swaraduni, of the sacred Ganges. Apaha, water. Anusevaya, bringing into use. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Please repeat. O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges waters, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that any person, regardless of birth, as Shudra, woman, or merchant, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing can return to Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. The pure devotees, whose only business is serving, are honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicates such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone, therefore, can take shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master. Did I read that right? Okay. Can be at once purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. For they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords, according to revealed scriptures. The sincere disciples of a pure devotee consider him equal with the Lord, but the pure devotee always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Namah Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangamam Vahita Girmer Kipitaman Dei Sigurum Dina Tarnam Pramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. Translation again. O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. So here Srila Prabhupada is immediately qualifying the position of the devotees of the Lord. Bhavavira Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Bhavo Tirtha Kuvani Tirthani Santakstina Gadabrita. The pure devotees of the Lord are so powerful that just by a little bit of association, wherever they may go, just we have practical example of that in the case of Srila Prabhupada, that wherever he went, that place became a tirtha, a holy place. And those who happen to be there and have his association, have his darshan, even for a moment, greatly benefited. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy is described in the Shastra, how just a moment's association is so powerful that it can offer the opportunity, at least, for one to achieve the highest benefit of human life. Sometimes people don't take it, of course. We see that also in recent history. So many persons have come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and some are taking, some are not. They may not take it in this lifetime even. They may have to wait. We don't know that. That's up to the Lord's representatives to decide what is their destination. But those who are so fortunate as to take advantage of that little bit of association can become supremely purified. Srila Prabhupada here compares those devotees to the waters of the Ganges. Srila Vyasadeva in the Padma Purana states how if one thinks of the two syllables Ganga in the morning, then all of his sins are destroyed. It's so powerful. Just meditating on Ganga. And the Ganges, we understand, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of rivers, I am the Ganges. So it's representative of the Lord in every way. It's so powerful that even those, as described, he further states how those who take bath, the sins of those who take bath in the Ganga is transferred to those who do not. It's so powerful. So if you get a chance to go to Mayapur, or you go to some place where the Ganga flows and you get a chance to take a bath in the Ganga, it's so powerful that those who take bath in the Ganga, their sins are transferred to those who do not. She's so powerful. And of course we know that at the time of death, that if one gets even a small, the size of a sesame seed drop, as described, Vyasadeva says, even the size of a sesame seed, the drop of Ganga, that one achieves the highest benefit going back to the spiritual world. Just even a teeny little drop. It's so important. Of course, nowadays, unfortunately, the Ganga is disrespected in so many different ways. And sometimes even in our own minds, we see that it may be polluted. There may be foam and mud. I remember a few years back, when we first went to Mayapur, actually, we were taking bath along the bank. We were just not far from Mayapur. You go, it's just a short walk to the Ganges. So we were taking bath on a little further down. And we were enjoying the water. The Ganges is a wonderful, beautiful water. Just on a side note, I remember one time going with Jayapataka Swami, and Maharaj is actually a very good swimmer, excellent swimmer. He would get into the water and he would just float. It was a beautiful sight. So devotees, they take advantage of the Ganga, and sometimes, of course, we get a little too over-enthusiastic. Devotees would try to swim across her, and in some few cases, devotees failed, and they actually drowned. I remember one year we swam actually across with Shivaram Swami. We up a little further you go, not straight across from Mayapur, but you go up a little bit further, and you can swim all the way across with the current. And we went to onto the Navadvipa side. It was quite a swim. And then on the way back, you have to again go up the bank. And then if you play it correctly, you can end up where the Mayapur dam is. But if you're not careful, you can get caught by the current just about 30 feet away from the bank, and it can sweep you down, way, way down, which actually happened to me. On the way back, we didn't rest long enough, so when we were getting close to the bank, it was about 30 feet. I remember looking, I was thinking, okay, well, I'm home. And then all of a sudden, I got caught by the current, and oh my gosh, I thought, oh, this is the end. So I ended up going about 200, at least 100 yards down stream, down the river, and finally made it to the shore. I thought, oh my gosh, this is, thank you, Krishna. That was something. But we were on the bank, and we were enjoying the water when all of a sudden we started smelling something really terrible, and couldn't figure out what it was. So the devotees got up out of the water, and we were walking around, and then finally we noticed that just ahead of us, in a little cove, there was a dead body there. And it came down the river and happened to catch into this little cove. And it stayed there. The body was all swollen from having been in the river for some time. And the body was just floating along. And right next to it, there were maybe four or five local residents. And they were just washing themselves nicely. It didn't bother them at all. And we were freaked out. This body's coming down. It smelled, if you've ever smelled a dead body, you know, it's quite an odor. We got out and we, holy Krishna, we decided to go do something else. But these people, they were just washing themselves nicely, enjoying the water. So still, the Ganga is purifying. Gangambasham kalabud buddha pena pankar. We don't consider it to be contaminated. It's supremely pure. And just by a little bit of, just a teeny drop, can afford one the highest benefit. In the Padma Purana, again, there's a statement by Lord Vishnu that he's very pleased and awards all desires to those who talk to others that I'm going to the Ganga, come with me. If you just say that, I'm going to the Ganga, come with me, he awards all desires. It's so auspicious. And finally, there's we know that the little bit of soil from Tulsi Devi, the sand that which is there along the Ganga, and the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord, or the pure devotees, they're equal. and they award one sorupya, or again liberation. It's so powerful. We can't underestimate it. Therefore, here in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is making that point, how Ganga is so powerful, but the devotees of the Lord are more powerful. Even more powerful, can you imagine? The Ganga is, of course, most sacred, but the devotees of the Lord are even more powerful. Because the Ganga, you need generally repeated use. After some time, you have to go numerous times. People are constantly bathing, of course. They're engaged in so many activities. They go bath and take bath again, or they go to some holy place, Haridwar, and they perform some puja. They have to take some bath again. So it's after some prolonged use. But the association of devotees is so powerful that just a moment, as Prabhupada points out here, one can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord. They're so powerful. And of course, and Prabhupada points out here that in the Bhagavad Gita, mam hi partya vipashita yepi supabhajanaya, that even the sudras, the women or merchants, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing can return back to Godhead. It's so wonderful that by their association, because as Srila Prabhupada points out here, to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. It's non-different. Because they don't have any other business. Their only business is serving the personality of Godhead. So they're, in this way, they're non-different. As Prabhupada points out, vice lord, just as the vice lord may go to, or a representative of the government may go to a particular place, like, say, India, he's representing the British crown. It's non-different. They're equal. Or just as a police officer may go to a certain place, he's representing the government. He has full authority. So the devotees of the Lord, their only business is serving, and in this way they're most dear. Just like you may have a razor. The business of the razor is shaving, right? We don't use the razor to brush our teeth. Maybe somebody did. It wouldn't be smart. You don't use the razor to brush your teeth or comb your hair. Some people actually have used the razor to get rid of it. But the point is there. The razor has its business, and so does the devotee of the Lord. Their only business is serving, and therefore they're under the protection. Daivam Prakritim Ashrita, the devotees of the Lord are so important. Their only business is serving the personality of Godhead, and they're. Therefore, they're under the protection of the divine energy. They're not distracted by so many material things or interested in anything else. No, their only business is to serve the personality of Godhead. So, therefore, they're honored, as Prabhupada points out here, by different names like Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicate that such devotees are representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord, just as, again, one would be a viceroy. Anyone, therefore, who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master can be at once purified. Right? Bhavavida bhagavatas dirtabhutas svambhayambho svayambhyo. Just that association purifies one and makes one eligible for pure devotional service. Such devotees of the Lord are equally or honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. And of course, what is that most confidential service? That confidential service is explaining the process of devotional service to the devotees. Jayidam Paramam Guyam. Krishna explains that those who explain this science of Krishna consciousness to the devotees, we don't waste our time with those who are envious and who are demoniac, but we present Krishna consciousness to the devotees. And Krishna says, "Na cha anatas manusheshu," that such persons are so dear and very special. Let's see what else does Srila Prabhupada say in this purport. He says, "For they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls, whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead." Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords according to the real scriptures. The sincere disciples of a pure devotee consider him equal with the Lord. But the pure devotee always considers himself to be a humble servant of the servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. So although they're very rare, right? Kotishvapi Mahamune, they're very rare personalities. To have their association is a great boon. And we can see that again practically in Krishna consciousness. For those who have the opportunity to meet devotees, it's very special. It's not something to be taken very lightly. And then those who are intelligent, they'll, of course, appreciate it. But that association is very rare. And although they're such exalted personalities, still they have the most humble mentality. As Lord Chaitanya explains, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Saishchena, that devotees of the Lord are they're not considering themselves to be of some special species. No. Their idea is to simply give Krishna consciousness to those who will hear it, give them an opportunity for becoming purified, give them that little bit of association which is so purifying and so necessary in this modern, in this day and age. It's so important. There's so many miserable things and distressful, anxiety-filled things going on in the world. People are overwhelmed by so many social and personal issues. They don't need to be named. We're all aware of them. It's just a total chaos. So the only remedy is to have the association of devotees. The only remedy is to have the opportunity for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Rajapati.
Nakatma Prabhu, you see, Prabhupada is mentioning in his purport about pure devotees. What are the symptoms of pure devotees, if I may ask? What are symptoms of pure devotees? What distinguishes pure devotees from just devotees?
Well, obviously, physically they're the same. There's no difference physically, but it's their mentality. That everything they're doing is done as an offering to Krishna. It's there's nothing Not that there's some glow about them. Of course, the Mahabhagwats are different. Srila Prabhupada, when you come in the presence of the Mahabhagwats, you can feel they radiate this spiritual potency. But to the common eye, he's just an elderly gentleman who's dressed in a particular way, and he's going about regular activities. But when one analyzes the activities of that person, his mentality, his words, that to me distinguishes the pure devotee from, say, a lesser devotee, a materialistic devotee, or a mixed devotee. The pure devotee is simply his mind, his body, mind, and words are simply engaged in worshiping Krishna, speaking about Krishna, advising, like that. That would be my answer. To the common eye, it wouldn't be, it's not that obvious, obviously. So many people, again, are seeing the devotees of the Lord, and they're not too impressed, unfortunately. But to those who have some knowledge, we can understand that, okay, this person is, his everything he does, his words, his activities, his body, everything is directed toward some kind of, some aspect of service to Krishna. All right?
Thank you for a nice class, Nakat Mapu. I would just add a few points to the ones that you've just nicely made. First of all, the word pure devotee means everything that you just said. But all pure devotees are not necessarily on the same level. Pure devotee is a category of devotees who have reached a certain level. For example, what differs or differentiates one pure devotee from another is the intensity of his or her love for Krishna. All pure devotees don't have the same amount or the same degree or the same intensity of love for Krishna. For example, it is mentioned in our Bhagavatam that Srimati Radharani is the highest of the pure devotees because she has more love than any of her associates or girlfriends. And in the spiritual world, that is also true, that certain persons do not have strong intensity, others have a stronger intensity, and still others have an incredibly great intensity, so much so that they never stop thinking of Krishna for a second. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely in the Nectar of Instruction, he mentions this point, and he mentions that a pure devotee realizes he's an eternal servant of Krishna. He loses interest in everything except Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna. He's always thinking of new ways to spread Krishna's holy name. And he understands that his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Archdeep, thank you for a nice presentation, especially your recounting your experiences in Mayapur. I was always afraid of that current, so I never went in so far. But this is a very important question, and we could have actually a whole week-long seminar trying to answer this question. But you cannot distinguish necessarily advancement in Krishna consciousness just by, like you said, looking from the outside. And therefore, we have to follow what the Shastra says in terms of offering respect to devotees. There are five things that you can see. Somebody who's been initiated before you, you offer them respect. By their age, you offer them respect. By their Varnashram position, you offer respect. by their position in our society. If somebody's a temple president, he may be younger than you, initiated after you, but still he or she has that position of president, so you have to respect that. And then the last one is spiritual advancement, which is not so easy to distinguish because, as we know, the pure devotees, when they're acting on that level of pure devotion, they see everybody else as engaged in Krishna consciousness except for themselves. And therefore, they don't preach. Therefore, for preaching, they have to come down to the madhyam level. And when they come down to that level, it's very difficult to distinguish that they're pure devotees because they're acting as madhyams. They're seeing Krishna, they're worshiping Him, they're seeing other devotees making friendship, they're seeing the innocent, and they're seeing the non-devotees. So when they're on that level, it's not so easy to distinguish who's actually pure and who's not because they're acting on a madhyam level.
There are some external things that may be visible, but really it's internal.
It's internal. So we have to distinguish by the symptoms shown in the Shastra. And when we give everybody respect based on those five different gradations, then we're safe. As I've always said, there are two mistakes you can make. You can see somebody to be a pure devotee who's not, or you can see somebody who's a pure devotee as not being a pure devotee. It's better to make the first mistake. See someone as a pure devotee who is not a pure devotee and treat them as such, and then you're safe. If you start calculating, I think this one is pure and that one is not, then you can run into a lot of trouble.
I always, I love this, when we sing the Jagannath Astakam, the last verse, Aho dine nate nahita charano nishchitam. It's so striking. I love it. It's the one most wonderful line. And Prabhupada translates it as, Lord Jagannath's lotus feet are bestowed upon those who feel themselves fallen and who have no other shelter than Him. It's such a wonderful meditation.
The one point that I had forgotten to make. And that is, Srila Prabhupada sometimes called or referred to many immature or neophyte devotees as pure devotees. And this often makes some devotees' heads whirl or swirl. So he mentioned, his justification for this, and so we should make it very clear that there are, I mentioned earlier that there are differences in pure devotees, and this is a significant one. And what Srila Prabhupada meant is that a person who follows all of the instructions of the spiritual master, such as four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, trying to sacrifice his all to please the spiritual master. Now, even though he may not be very high level in philosophical understanding or philosophical discussion, but he has these basic qualities which are similar to the spiritual masters, the ones that I've just mentioned. So Srila Prabhupada would say, yes, that he's a pure devotee. But that doesn't mean that he's equal to Srimati Radharani or that he's equal to some of the great devotees that associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he should be respected and revered and should be his example should be followed. And what that will lead to is a higher and higher level of pure devotee because the intensity of love for Krishna, Radha, will definitely keep increasing.
Anything else?
This brings out the, I don't know if it's a comment or a question, there's so many initiating gurus in our society now. So how do you distinguish, who's more pure, for especially for the younger devotees, to take initiation from?
There was so much noise, I couldn't make out the question exactly.
Okay, there's so many different initiating gurus in our society now.
Yeah.
So how do you distinguish who's more pure to take initiation from, especially for the younger devotees?
That's an individual choice. That's between you and that initiating spiritual master. If that spiritual master is enthusing you to practice Krishna consciousness to your fullest ability, then that you should do. That's the criteria. If it's helping you to practice Krishna consciousness, then you take it and try your best. Pray to Krishna. Yeah.
There's a process, there's a standard, and then if you're, you know, accepted that you're following the standard and you've done all the proper external activities, then if you're bona fide, then that's how you take initiation from such
an individual. You have to be a bona fide disciple too.
Yeah.
It works both ways. Satchinanda, you had a question? I have no idea.
Say from the temple to, you know, Venice or across the street. I mean, can you give a visual? I'm just trying to visualize it. That's all.
You know, so many of us have been from there, from Mayapur side to Navadvip. Is how far? 1 mile? Something like that. Make sure you're with the current.
Thank you.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.